A year into doing business as a standalone trade publisher, putting out children's and adult titles both in print and digital, Amazon retains its confidence in the midst of a change in command. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book, reporting from Santa Fe, New Mexico at the annual PubWest Members Conference. High-profile publishing insider Larry Kirschbaum is leaving Amazon in January, giving way to longtime Amazon insider Daphne Durham. She must persuade authors and their agents that signing with the web giant won't leave them all as wet as the weather in Seattle. The Amazon imprint's sales records suggest she has her work cut out. Joining me today in Santa Fe is Jim Milliot, co-editorial director for Publishers Weekly, who recently sat down with Durham. And welcome, Jim. And tell us, how convincing was Daphne Durham on the question of Amazon's commitment to trade publishing?
Their commitment overall is fairly convincing. And they've done a good job here in sort of spinning the Kirschbaum departure as part of a reconfiguration, but also only as one small part of an overall bigger operation. It's important to know that, for instance, they have about 14 different imprints, most of which are based in Seattle. The Kirschbaum news when he was hired a couple years ago was the idea was it looked like they wanted to compete for the big authors that the New York publishers go after. And in that area, it's safe to say that they haven't done too well.
Well, they ran into a lot of heavy traffic on that. And tell us about what happened. I mean, first of all, some of the bookstores said, nope, we're not going to carry those books if you do publish them.
Virtually all of the bookstores said they weren't going to carry them. And, you know, they don't want to use the term boycott, but they weren't going to carry titles that they see as being published by the enemy. And what had happened was, to try to get around that a little bit, Amazon did a licensing deal with Houghton Mifflin, and they started an imprint called New Harvest. But New Harvest really is only the print editions of all Amazon titles that they've acquired. So if you look at some of the early titles that they put out, one of the big high-profile purchases early on was Penny Marshall's book. And according to the BookScan data, which tracks roughly 80% of print sales through those bricks and mortar stores, including Walmart, she had sales of 12,000, which is, on any level, not good.
Wait, but the sales of the book also include ebooks, and it did better than that on the east side.
Well, this is what Amazon's argument is, that if you look at the Amazon ecosystem, that you'll still sell pretty decent numbers. And their numbers that they supply to us, that's probably the first time they've been around, is that the Marshall book sold about 120,000 copies. So that would include ebooks and as well as some print copies that are not captured by BookScan. Having said that, 120,000 is pretty good, but for a book that is believed to have paid like $800,000 or so, it's not a home run.
Right. Well, tell us about Daphne Durham. Now, she's been with Amazon for quite some time, sort of risen through the ranks, not a publishing insider the way Larry Kirschbaum was. Any sense of what her approach is going to be to the challenge ahead?
Well, this is what has some of the New York-based agents kind of scratching their head. For the starters, Daphne's going to spend a lot of her time in Seattle. It's not a good way to network and schmooze like Larry was so good at. So, I mean, it's hard not to escape the idea, at least, that the focus is going to be on the genre type of imprints. They say they're going to be starting new ones, you know, stuff like Montlake, and they have other stuff for romance, mysteries, science fiction. They've got the kids going. So I think you're going to see a lot more effort in that direction.
And you would see that probably because they'll do best on the ebook side of things with the genre titles.
They will definitely do best in the ebook side. And for whatever reason, there hasn't been quite the pushback to these titles in print. It was really, again, sort of the ones, the books that booksellers thought might make a splash and that were being distributed by New Harvest, that was really where they drew the line.
And the agents that will be not having lunch with Daphne, they must worry that their authors aren't going to get the best out of a deal with Amazon. Even if the money up front was good, they'd be concerned about the lay down on the bookstores and everything else, right?
That's exactly what you've seen happen. You know, there's one of my colleagues on the magazine is a bit skeptical that, well, the agents would sell to the highest bidder. But if you're actually looking in terms of the long term, I mean, is it worth it? It was a sellout for $1 million, and your book is read by maybe half as many readers as possible.
Well, sign me to that contract.
Well, it's worked, but obviously it hasn't worked that great. I mean, let's remember, I mean, when they announced this and they announced Larry, there was a lot of fear that Stephen King, John Grisham, you name it, they're all going to be running over to Amazon because they were going to open the doors and they would brand them like crazy and they put them all over the website. Penny Marshall's what you got. That's not the same thing.
Well, Amazon's got a lot of challenges in the book business. They've certainly done well by the book business, and they're looking at ways to improve their image, certainly. So they have an announcement this week on something called Amazon Source. That's a way to make pals with independent bookstores. Tell us about that and what the reaction has been.
Well, as it's been well documented, there's no bigger constituency that views Amazon warily than independent booksellers.
You're being diplomatic, Jim. They look at it as the evil empire.
The evil empire is fair to say, I would think. And, well, what Amazon did this week is they are giving them the chance to sell to sell Kindles, all Kindle devices, the whole family, for a decent discount. But if you take a bit of a lesser discount, you get the opportunity to get 10% of all Kindle sales from the person that bought the device for 2 years.
Now, some of the bookstores have signed on. You can tell us who. And some of them have reacted pretty strongly. One, in fact, said it would be like Marie Antoinette going into the guillotine business. What's the argument for not doing this? I mean, is it a good deal for bookstores?
To be honest, it doesn't look like it's that great a deal for bookstores. I mean, there is an already existing deal that the ABA and independent booksellers have with Kobo, which would let you, for instance, collect sales from ebooks for the devices you sold for as long as the person has that device. This one is limited. But what gets at the booksellers the most is a couple of things, one of which is that, in essence, you're turning over your customers' names to your biggest competitor, that it's really not great an upside on the technology side for what you could actually earn in terms of generating revenue from ebook. And to be fair to Amazon, if anybody can, that booksellers, independent booksellers, have been a bit ambivalent about embracing selling ebooks. Like we've said, they have a deal with Kobo, but about maybe 400 to 500 stores have signed up. And, early sales, and it's only been about a year, really haven't been that great.
Well, is this a publicity stunt then for Amazon? Is this something that they can point to when someone accuses them of running the book business into the ground and say, oh, no, we want to work with these guys? Or are they committed to selling Kindles everywhere they can? Because some places have stopped selling Kindles, Target for one.
Right. I think it's more trying to get Kindles in many places as they can. They're worried about their image to a slight degree. And when they go ahead, when they have a good idea, they'll do it no matter what they think the reaction might be. They've very rarely ever gone back on anything. And they did point to Russ Grandinetti, who's one of the guys in charge of this, notes that independent booksellers use Amazon in various different ways, one of which is that they use it to sell used books, and quite a few do.
Well, we're in Santa Fe, New Mexico. There's a wonderful independent bookstore here just down the street from the La Fonda Hotel. I was there last night, The Collected Works. They had Valerie Plame as a guest author that was packing the house, really overpacking the house, to be honest with you. So some independents are doing well, and definitely independent publishing has been doing very well, and there's many members represented at Pub West. This is your second time, at least that I know of, coming to Pub West. What's your impression of this organization, and what can people expect who are here?
I think it's really a dynamic organization. It is, in fact, my second time. And you really get a great collection of people who are pushing the envelope a bit on what's new in publishing. They publish all sorts of different types of books, a lot of regional, a lot of the Western culture, some sort of Western tie-in. But more and more, and I think we might see this brought up again in this convention, a push to make Pub West maybe the representative of all independent publishers across the states.
Well, that'd be very interesting. Well, I, as a representative of Copyright Clearance Center, I'm here to help present a couple of different programs today, Thursday, as we record this, and then Saturday as the conference winds down. You're also going to be on a panel about book reviews. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, we're Publishers Weekly, you know, does about 9,000 book reviews a year. And what we're really here is, there's a lot of people who are new to the industry, so may not know about Publishers Weekly, and there are a couple other publications on the panel with us. So it's about the utility of book reviews and today's in today's marketplace. Let's face it, I mean, three or four years ago, most major newspapers had a pretty extensive book review sections. Those are all gone. So book reviewing has really undergone a sea change in recent years. It's not all bad. There are more book reviews online than there had been. But I think what's important about, you know, we've been doing it for, you know, over 50 years, is that to help cut through the clutter and maybe the 20 or 50 or how many Amazon unsigned reviews there are, that, you know, we bring same authority to the review process.
And a serious reader is going to take that pretty seriously. I was going to say there are more reviews than ever, but they're all on Amazon.
Right. And again, we think it's a way to help differentiate, say, a book from just the masses, is that we're pretty well known, especially within the industry, and that, you know, a PW review, not to sound immodest, you know, does carry some clout. Again, it's branded. We've done it for 50 years. The people who review have expertise if it's a nonfiction, or they have some sign of, if it's fiction, they've been reading fiction for a long time and have some critical accomplishments. So it's not your mother reviewing your book.
Well, my mother reviews my books, and she says they're terrific. Any other programs today or at the conference throughout this weekend at PubWest that have caught your eye?
Well, of course, you know, you can't escape what's going on in the electronic world, and there's a heavy dose of that here again. And that's one of the trickier things for the independent publisher, because a lot of them are smaller, and they don't have the resources of, say, a Simon & Schuster that has an IT department and can really draw on the resources of a lot of people. So it's at places like these conferences that you really can pick up some, you know, some good practical, you know, I'll take this home and this is how I do it thing, on how to approach all the opportunities that are out there in the digital world. Because I think you'll see more and more, and I'm pretty confident we'll see that again in the next couple of days, that, you know, publishers being afraid of digital are pretty much gone. It's just the way now. All right, what's the best way for us to make, you know, take an opportunity of this? And that's not easy. I mean, it's much better than, oh my, we're going to be out of business because we're going to go away with music, which nobody, I think, believes is going to happen anymore. But they're not blind to the fact that it's a fast-moving marketplace, and you really better have your intelligence in order.
All right. Well, Jim Elliott, co-editorial director of Publishers Weekly, great to see you here in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Look forward to attending your panel discussion later at the conference, the PubWest conference. And thanks for joining us today on Beyond the Book.
My pleasure, Chris. We'll see you around.
Right. Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at the Copyright Clearance Center website, copyright.com. Just click on Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.